Professional wrestling superstar, champion, entrepreneur, author, and show host. The Big Guy Ryback feeds you more interviews, more stories, more information, and more laughs than ever before. Let's go! Conversation with the Big Guy Ryback starts now.
Welcome to Conversation with the Big Guy Ryback. I am the Big Guy Ryback, and today I'm joined by Brian Pillman Jr., and this is a fun episode. I think you guys are really going to dig it. This is fresh off of his appearance at AEW and with his dark match with Sean Spears. And so this came at a very good time. And we talk about his time at AEW, going over there, the coronavirus stuff going on, and being at home, adjusting to not doing anything. And then all of a sudden, you know, and being in phenomenal shape and going over there very, very happy for Brian and the opportunities I feel are going to be coming his way. We talk about social media, always talking about social media and everything going on. And we just pretty much just shoot the shit on this episode. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Brian Pillman Jr.
I can hear you. What's going on?
Oh, there you go. All right. Just trying to get some of my, like, I was doing these with Eli Drake, and I didn't have enough of my cool, like, backdrop stuff in there.
Oh, don't worry.
That's what I've been spending my time. I just had a very plain background.
It's fun. If people can't just listen to the content and be happy, if they need to see, like, a banner in the background.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyway,
so I switched to these. I usually did the hard cam shot where I had, like, the whole studio. Nobody gives a shit. Yeah. And I'm like, now I just do StreamYard, and I don't care. Like, I just angle my laptop to be on me. So,
yeah,
people like the face-to-face. Where'd you fly in from?
So I just came home from Jacksonville, Florida.
I saw you. You were in disguise, I saw, for the show.
Yeah.
And then, but I saw
that. By the way, are we rolling?
Yeah. I keep it on. I saw,
yeah. No,
I just happened to pick it up at the most natural part.
No, I appreciate that. No, I got some cookies here. Been trying to bulk up.
So I appreciate you literally just flew in and then and did the show, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it was a wild time. Very adrenaline-filled. A lot of opportunity put my way. But I came, you know, I came to work, and I showed up in very good physique, very good form. Very, very repped out, you know, very much ready, you know, ring ready, despite the pandemic, you know.
You look in good shape. I saw a picture of you backstage with Jericho. Was that with you in your ring gear? You look ready to go.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I wanted to make sure, just coming off of such a long break, that I was able to fire on all the cylinders that I could and enhance all the aspects that my trainer told me, you know, were the most important things in a wrestler. And one of those things is having a good look and looking good. So
absolutely,
when it came to having brand new gear and having brand new muscles and brand new tan, that was a no brainer for me. Now, you know, going out there and getting it done in the ring, that's a whole nother situation. I think I did really good. So, but you know, there's different levels to that too.
What did you do with them? Cause I only watched the part of the AEW television show. Did you have a match also?
Yeah, I can only speak on one of the matches.
Okay.
That I'm having. The other one is super kayfabed up. But I do have a match coming up on Tuesday. AEW Dark.
Yeah.
It'll be me versus Sean Spears.
All right.
Very solid match. Very talented guy. Very solid worker. If we're shooting on this thing, or if we're, these days, if I'm faving it, or, you know, if this is a shoot podcast.
I came in with Sean, actually. He was I knew him from OVW when he was with tagging with Cody down there. And I came in from Deep South Wrestling, and then he got released. And then I remember he went through some struggles. I remember him, man, coming backstage to a show at WWE. I think it was me and I don't know if me and I was in the main event that was Ryback, and he was like, it was in Canada. And I remember he was like out of wrestling for a bit. And it's just crazy how everyone, like, once you get into the wrestling business, goes through their own like journey and cycles of like,
oh yeah,
everyone he's out of it now. Like I'm out of the business for right now. And then he's now back and doing well. It's just
that, oh yeah,
everyone has their own story, but he's always been a very talented wrestler.
Yeah. And it's all about how you adapt and those things too. But but no, I mean, just being able to go there and be told that I'm working with these high caliber guys, these guys that not only do they look the part, but they can work, you know, they can cover up for me. Not that I don't think I need too much covering up anymore. I think I've been maturing quite well and really polishing myself in the ring.
How many years now are you in, by the way?
At the same time, you can't fake experience, you know, you can't simulate the feeling of being in control in the ring like someone like Sean Spears has. You know, I can't fake that shit, you know, like I can go out there with all the confidence in the world, but when a guy like that really has control of the pacing and of the match, it definitely takes a big load off your shoulders, you know, when you can go out there and focus on connecting with the crowd and selling and being and having your best match. You know, can't always have your best match when you're worried about, you know, the other stuff and all that.
You're in a position
What was your question again?
But you're in a position too, and you're learning. We're all learning, but like, and that you bring up a good point, because I went through this actually too in WWE. Of it depends who you're working with, also, and there's like a respect thing where you're the younger guy. You're in a get there with a guy that's been in the business longer. You could have all the confidence in the world, but there's like, this is one of those fine lines in wrestling that fans will never understand, because there's a whole political aspect to this where you have to, it's being respectful. It's knowing when to get your offense in. It's knowing when to listen. It's knowing when to take control. And I went through that when I got thrown into the WWE main event. I had a lot of confidence, but now I am now working with the elite of the company that have a lot of power and control.
Yeah.
And if I start doing things that they don't like, it could have negative repercussions, and that's part of wrestling. Yeah. And then now in getting that experience, and then eventually you're that guy in that position, and it's just the way that that's part of the wrestling business.
Yeah.
But it's a cool thing, man, to watch you. Like you got confidence. There's no doubt it's in your blood. So you're just going to, but in 10 years, you're going to look back and be like, man,
It's just the way it is. Yeah. You look back and you go, oh, wow, I can't believe I did this or did that or I said that and it was taken the wrong way by them. But, you know, that's one of the things I probably struggle with the most, is just because I am a talker. I'm a very vocal guy. I'm very transparent about my goals with everybody. So sometimes I get to talking too much and that can be my downfall, especially, you know, coming into a new company. But, I definitely learned a lot about being in a high level locker room like that. You know, it was 2 days, you know, of work, you know, and when you show up for work, you show up for work. And then you got the one day, and then you got the next day, you're tired and you got to do more, or you got a new opportunity to work on. So yeah, some very good opportunities that were thrown my way to be on the dark end of the show, which in my opinion is just as much, you know, when you're looking at the show as a whole, it's more than half the matches on the card is going on the dark show. So that definitely makes up the bulk of the production, and it is very valuable. So I was very honored. I definitely didn't expect to be thrown straight onto live TV right away. You know, I was very honored to have been put on the dark match.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And Dark is a show. They have Moxley. It's not like WWE. Oh, yeah. Dark. They use the whole roster on that show. So absolutely. To be on that show it's not like you just show up and like in. It's no easy task. It's a cool thing that to be figured into even that right now. So I think that says a lot. What was the feedback for you? Everything positive?
Yeah, I want to say very positive. Obviously, like I said, like I can get it kind of ahead of myself when I'm talking and I'm expressing myself to people. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think what I had gotten done in the ring on those two nights was definitely the right impression. I think Tony is a guy that really, really cares about his talent. You know, he's something that's he really, really cares. Like he's always checking up on everybody, you know, from the top of the card down to the bottom. You know, he's hanging out with the boys after the show to pick people's brains, but also he's a wealth of knowledge too. He's a student of the game. He has a lot of statistics in his head, a lot of different matches that he's seen about every match there is, you know. So when you care that much about the sport and the art of it, and you also care about the talent, it's hard to not want to make a place like that home, you know. Like the sky's the limit when you have all that hunger and you have that drive, you know. It's like, I see them being around for a very long time.
I do too. Yeah. I'm excited. I talked to Trent the other day, and I go, I'm excited for – because for me in my situation, I've talked about it a million times, but and we see it with guys after you leave WWE, sometimes it can be very disheartening. And even though I walked away and my story is a little different with the injuries, I never wanted to go back, which is really disheartening for me because my goals for wrestling were not over. But now I look and all of a sudden now we have a viable, huge wrestling promotion that seems open-minded. Absolutely. I know multiple people there and everyone says the same thing about the positivity and the backstage, which for me coming up in WWE, I'm taken back by it because I go, fuck, that's like what wrestling should be.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
but it wasn't what I was taught and it wasn't necessarily, and I don't agree with the way a lot of things are with inside WWE, but it's just the way that it is. And it always was. And not to say that it can't change and adjust, but
yeah, it's more developed into its corporate kind of structure.
It's what it is,
And AEW definitely has more of that independent contractor vibe. Yeah. You know, it definitely has like when it comes to the veterans and talking to them and really getting to pick their brain, it's just an open, you know, it's like an open forum. You know, people are always willing to chat and to talk and you know, you're there all day and you're working with these guys and the last thing people want to do is be all uptight and worried about who they can talk to and who they can't. So I was very pleased to have those veterans to be there to help with the show and to talk. And the agents, you know, they're very, you know, they're not too controlling of what's going on. You know, it's a very open forum there. And I think sometimes maybe people get a little too comfortable and I was probably guilty of it too over my couple days there. Just because so many of those guys I came up with on the indies, you know, you got so much young, hungry talent. And I'm like, I'm a young, hungry talent too. And I'm in this place too. And I'm like, oh, look at me, you know. So I might have been just soaking up a little too much attention there. But as far as my performance and what the company and Tony and Cody and everybody thought of what I was doing, I think it was very positive. And I do think I'll be back there. So
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, the cool thing too about AEW is, and I feel like we all know wrestling needs to be better and can be better. I see that with AEW, but they're not going to, it's not the same. This isn't like a WCW or like, you're not just going to bring in veteran talents or people. It's going to be it's truly like they went with the roster they had. They brought in the right veteran people at the time that they needed. And I think it's going to be a very fine blend, but using the right people to help build up the roster on TV, which they're doing right now, It's like the perfect combination of using young and experienced wrestlers together. And it takes time with that. But I feel like everyone that's in that system realizes the goal of improving in long term.
Oh, just, yeah. It's not so much like, oh,
like, let's hold these guys down.
You're in a training group or you're in developmental. You're not on the roster. It's a very much collaborative effort where someone who's at one point in their career one night might be getting a huge opportunity the next night. Yep. You know, it might be like, oh, well, you just showed us something we hadn't seen before. We're not going to hold you down for another 3 months. You know, we're actually just going to give you a shot tomorrow and see how you do. So, and they have that freedom to do that. So that I think that's for, it's a saving grace for like a young guy. You know, I don't really know too much about the WWE because I just kind of wanted to go out on the indies and earn it on my own. I didn't want to kind of take that way out and like ask for a job, if that makes sense. Like I feel like at some point in my career, I was like, you know what? I might have an open window there to just get a tryout or something. But I was always afraid of that because, you know, they always say despise the free lunch, you know, and if something comes too easily, it might not be as good for your character or as good for long-term growth as a person. So I definitely just always shied away from going there and just from what I heard and stuff. But I think it's just it's such a big environment, you know, it's such a big pond that if you go in there developmental, you know, it might be easy to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to get lost in the shuffle because when I have social media and when I'm able to connect with all my fans anyways and share my story on the indies, it's like I don't want anybody to stop me from doing that, you know, and I don't want anybody to change who I am or, and, you know, they try to scare you and say, oh, they're going to change your name and they're going to ruin you. It's like, I'm not worried about all that. And I know everyone there means well, and they have a very highly professional, a lot of the talent there I'm very, very look up to and very fond of. Guys like Riddle and Thatcher and those guys that I got to spend some time with on the indies. But no, it's just one of those things where like it's kind of just I'm doing this for me. Like I didn't get into wrestling for anybody else, but for me and to kind of make my father proud and show him a story and show him a journey that's very unique in the sense that all this stuff's happening in wrestling, you know, AEW's coming up and like there's almost this kind of revolutionary thing. And, you know, before the pandemic, there was a lot more steam behind it all, of course. But in the same vein, you know, it's like these guys are changing the game. And I waited till I was, you know, 22, 23 to start really studying the business and really looking into it. So if I was a fan of anybody, I was a fan of the modern day wrestling because that's when I really started watching and started seeing the Young Bucks and Cody and these guys kind of taking over the world on the indies. And I thought, well, if they're doing it without that main media conglomerate, you know, without the WWE, if they're doing it on their own terms, who's to say I can't, you know, learn from them and build a brand on my own terms at least. And then obviously the ultimate goal was to get my foot in the door at AEW. And that's always been my ultimate goal just because, like I said, that gravitation towards their product, the gravitation towards what they're doing there. I've never really second-guessed it. Yeah, I've always wanted to be a part of that company.
I think it's a great thing. And just personally speaking, I'll never tell anyone where to go. I think everyone has to make their own personal choice with that. I've just seen people that do time and time again, like you to understand WWE, you have to go there to understand it.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you can hear it all day long. You'll never fully understand it until you're actually in it and see. But I think with the way everything's going in like AEW, and I think in wanting to build stars, and the WWE has certain limitations on things. They have their business model. I think it's a much more favorable position with today. Like if I'm now getting into the game today, I'm looking in and I know the information. I know AEW all the way, anything just because I think I know what the limitations are on the other one.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
With that, what was it like for you now with this? Everything with this whole coronavirus has been like, I can't even imagine, because I just remember coming up wrestling in front of no people. And there's nothing harder than doing like cold and developmental anyways. And even, and I've done some indies even after I left in Australia, that was pretty bad. And without that adrenaline there, it's a lot more difficult. Was it for you doing this stuff for like AEW here? Was that a challenge not having an audience there as far as the regular audience?
Yeah, so I always commended AEW because they were one of the first shows to start putting the boys in the crowd. Yep. and to start creating that ambient noise that we as wrestlers, we kind of need that to just to operate. You know, I don't even, without crowd reactions, I was really lost out there. But I don't want to say lost like in the sense like I didn't know where I was going, but lost in the sense of my emotional, you know, kind of reading the roller coaster of it, like, where am I going? You know, is this with the timing and things, you know, like, you're still going to get to where you want to go, but it's like, you never really know when or if, should you cut something or not? You just kind
of,
we'll just do what we said. We were, you know, just go out here and we'll kill it. And we'll hopefully work the camera and keep those people that are at home watching entertained. Yeah. And that's the biggest thing is focusing on your audience, right? You know, if your audience is online, then there's no point in selling to the 10,000 people in the Raptors, you know, because they're not there. So
it looks silly doing away. It's tough.
That was one of Tony's creative visions too, was that you know, we're always taught to treat every arena like it's full of 10,000 people, but he was very much adamant that we should focus on the actual viewers and the cameras and not be pretending that there's, you know, 100,000 people there. But with that said, there was actually quite a few of the boys in the audience for my match.
Okay.
So the first match I had was earlier in the night. So yeah, they actually had like volunteers and employees that worked at the arena and at the hotel who were part of the COVID testing sort of quarantine zone. Basically, once you're in the arena, you know, nobody comes or goes, you know, it's like a quarantine zone. So anybody
right when you go in also?
Huh? Yeah.
Are you tested like as you go in for the day?
Yeah. You're tested. Okay. Yeah. You're tested all the time. Yeah. Always being scanned, always, you know, very much, like I said, this guy, Tony, very much cares about his employees on a level, like a very deep family level. You know, he wants the healthiest for everybody. And if there's even a whisper that you're kind of somewhat exposed to it, he'd be happier that you take the week off or you know, whatever. Or
he seems very hands-on with everything.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's his baby. I mean, he's chosen to be involved in this.
Well, like what I was saying was like all these, when you add up all these different workers and you place them in the different parts of the crowd, you know, it definitely felt like a legitimate show with fans. Yeah. So, because some of these people were fans, you know, some of these people that worked at the venue were fans, you know, so they really enjoyed it. And especially being that it was the Fyter Fest pay-per-view model, they wanted it to be as big and loud and rowdy as they could get it. So I was able to take part in that and sit in the crowd for Dynamite. And then when the dark matches happened, I went and did my dark match. So
that's great. Is Chris too with Jericho? Has he been involved with you over the years?
Absolutely. Chris has always been sort of that veteran voice of reason to kind of steer me in the right direction. Yeah, absolutely. Whenever I was expressing interest in going there, he was one of my biggest supporters, you know, one of my biggest voices in there, and he really pulled for me. And so that's why, like, when I went there to, you know, I knew I wasn't really debuting on TV, but on Dark, but I treated it like it was the biggest opportunity of my life. I mean, absolutely. I went in there with the best shape I could possibly be in, you know, everything, new gear, you know, fresh wrist tape, you know, getting a pump right before my match, you know, like not even missing a beat. Like I called the music guy a week before the show. I was like, we got to get this music right. You know, I was like, and then they were like, well, then you should check with the guy that does the background projector screens and make sure you got something there too. And I was like, oh yeah, I got to get that too. So I tried to fire on every cylinder I could, knowing that Dark, you know, gets hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube, you know, and that's the thing that people have to understand as we move forward into the, you know, technology marketplace, is not everything has to be on cable TV, you know, not everything. That's not the end all be all anymore, you know, like,
no.
I don't even have cable. So it's easier for me to watch those shows like Dark and stuff because it's easier to pull it up on my PlayStation.
No, times are changing for sure. And I wanted to talk about a couple things with that as well. But I want to say Chris, man, was for me too, of all the guys when I was there, and then I did that, had the whole main event run after I did my feud with Cena. And it, like Chris, I think Chris and me were supposed to work at Mania, and it got changed to me and Mark Henry, and then went on to turn heel and went with Cena. And then the me and the Jericho thing happened after, and I got to work with him on quite a few live events, main events. And like it, man, I could just tell though, and there's nothing from working other main eventers in WWE to working Chris, he was just different. And it was because he was very, he was all right sharing advice. Like he was very content with himself. He's very secure with himself. He knows how good he is.
Yeah.
He's already had success.
He's not worried about giving away his secrets and his thoughts on things.
So I was always very grateful for him because he was very, very good to me during that whole period. And the whole time I knew him up there, he was great. So I'm glad you got a good relationship with him. What have you done too with COVID with all this to stay in shape of the gym situation? Because are you in Cincinnati?
Yeah. So I'm in Northern Kentucky, which is more or less greater Cincinnati.
Yeah.
For about 2 months, at the very beginning of this thing, I was completely out of shape, you know, not working out, not eating well, just let myself go pretty bad, playing video games, you know. But once I got a call, I was laying down, it was late, and I got a message to go do an indie booking, like a closed taping, no fans.
Yeah.
And it was for that company, GCW.
Okay.
From Brett Lauderdale. And this was after 2 months of just being in spiral depression, you know, like never thinking wrestling's coming back ever. And then there it was, it knocked on my door. I was like, oh my God, like he really wants me to come do this show right now. Like, where am I really going to go get paid to do my job and to do what I love? Like, this is crazy. But I had to tell him no. I was like, I can't do it because I'm not in shape, and I wouldn't disrespect the business by getting in a ring. Being pasty and not in shape and not even knowing if I had the ring cardio or anything, you know, I had absolutely zero confidence in that. And I'm not going to go steal that guy's money just because, you know, maybe I got a haircut before the show or something, but no, like I wasn't ready. I needed months. I needed time. I needed several weeks to be ready. And that's when I woke up that next morning with just a fire lit under my ass. Like wrestling's on its way back. Like,
yeah.
Who's going to be the best in shape when it comes back? Like who's going to hit the ring looking like $1 million bucks? Well, it's going to be me for sure. Like I'm not going to let anybody else take that from me. You know, I just had wrestling. My whole dream, traveling every weekend, going around the country, you know, being flown all over and living my dream, taken out from underneath me in a day, you know.
You lost everything, but from wrestling, no bookings. That's what I tried. Like it's
like
I can't
Tijuana, imagine. Mexico was my last booking. You know, one of the loudest, hypest crowds. March 13th.
Yeah.
And then the last indie show to ever take place was like that 15th, which was in Las Vegas.
Okay.
There was a show in Las Vegas. And they
for who? Like, Future Stars of Wrestling?
Yeah. And God bless the promoter. You know, he was super cool about it. But I was like, yeah, dude, like I just got back from Tijuana and I had some like flu-like symptoms because it was just rainy and stuff. And I think I got a cold. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think I got COVID there. I just had a pretty bad cold. But I was like, dude, if during all this going on, all this news popping up, if I get on this plane right now and come to your show, like coughing and sneezing, like what? Like, I was not about to put everybody through that. So not only did I lose that payday right off the end of the tail end of it, I just lost, you know, the next 3 months worth of bookings, you know, thousands of dollars. WrestleMania was canceled. That's thousands of dollars for thousands of wrestlers. You know,
that weekend is a huge weekend. That WrestleCon weekend is.
It's like, I don't know how I really survived it because I never went and stopped and went and got a shoot job. I just kind of kept plugging my merch online and getting back.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, like I barely skated by.
Because wrestlers can't get on you're not able to get on employment.
I think with this situation you can, but it is very hard. Yeah, it's hard to prove your income.
Yeah.
Unless you're tracking every booking and you have to show your income to show how much they should pay you for unemployment. Like when I worked my corporate job before I even got into wrestling, I got unemployment because they laid me off and I knew I wanted to go train at Lance Storm's in Calgary. So I was like, well, I'll get unemployment and that'll help me save up to go up to Calgary. Because that was like a big boy job. So they could really look at my income on the taxes and go, okay, this guy is worth this much.
Yeah.
So when we give him unemployment, we'll give him this much.
And with all of this, I would imagine, because I always like talking to people about social media and there's so many positives to it. And there's obviously some negatives as well, but I think this is one of those instances where, because I see you're very active. I always see you on my timeline of retweeting. You're very active on social media, which is very good.
Yeah.
And I've had to learn and to hustle for business on there, and you're your own brand. And it's like, and you, I feel like use social media to help yourself. How that was able to keep you, I would imagine that's been very beneficial, allowing you to, with your merchandise and everything. Because without it, there's no way to get in, staying in contact with people.
Yeah, like I don't really have like a website, like a www. Me, like my Twitter's a website. My Instagram's a website. Even my Facebook, I do some business on there too. But, you know, when you have access to all these promoters through the messenger apps, through the DMs, you have access to all these different fans that, if they want to order a shirt, they can just DM you. You know what I mean? I could screenshot their address and go to the post office the next day, you know?
Yeah.
So I was able to kind of hustle through and do cameos. And I was also doing some paid podcasts and stuff to make some ends meet too. So it's all about how you flex your brand and how you do different things. Like I know you developed the supplement brands and stuff, and those were huge. And yeah, I tried them out. I saw that.
You did Van Vliet show, right?
Yeah. Chris Van Vliet. He's another example of just somebody
hustles,
making a living off of YouTube, you know, making a living off of this technology that we have.
Yep.
And as a wrestler, there's no greater tool. There's no greater tool for getting over. There's no greater tool for getting booked, for getting an opportunity. I think any wrestler that doesn't have at least Twitter and Instagram completely synced up, you know, same gimmick, you know, same kind of bio, staying in care, you know what I mean? Like, there's none of this, oh, well, you know, I'm tweeting it, so that's really me, not my character. It's like, no, you need to stay in line, stay uniform with who you are. If you say it on there, then that might as well have been your character that said it, you know what I mean?
Otherwise,
you don't deserve the following on there.
Yep. Yeah.
Your Facebook is your friends and family.
Yeah.
If you want to be talking like a shoot, then go talk to them, because you don't, you know, that's your 400, 500 friends and family on Facebook. That's why I try to keep Facebook more or less on the personal end. I mean, obviously my friends list is all maxed out, but
yeah,
that kind of caps off at like 5,000. But to me, these people that are like going online and like, oh, well, I was just trying to get heat. And I'm like, well, you're not going to get heat by apologizing and trying to pretend you're a good person in real life. No, like just blur that line, dude. Just own what you say online. And it's like, you look at MJF.
It's too confusing. Yeah. You can't do both.
Yeah. Don't do both. Just, if you want to tweet about politics, just realize that some people are going to think that your character thinks that too. So
yeah,
guess what? If you're a fucking babyface in wrestling, maybe don't be a piece of shit online, you know? I mean, I don't know, but because it's going to come back on you, you know? But if you are a heel and you want to express some of your darker thoughts out there, yeah, then go ahead. But, like, don't try to separate the shit. Like, oh, well, I didn't mean it as a shoot. Like, yeah, well, no shit, but you said it. Own it. Your character online has 50,000 followers, not your, you know, not who you are as a shoot. So nobody cares about your opinion as a shooter. They care about your character's opinion.
Yeah.
They care about what that star is thinking. And a lot of these guys, they don't want to carry themselves as stars, and they want to like break that cool, like that super, super useful tool that we have, which is social media.
Yeah.
That lets us blur that line so easily. And they want to like throw that tool out the window. And I'm like, God, you guys are so stupid. But
I agree with you. I hate the apologies of things. I just,
well, I go say with MJF, he's the best heel on the internet because he never apologizes.
That's all that it is.
People get afraid, like, oh shit, did I really offend him? Well, it's like, yeah, no shit. Yeah, you did. That's good. So don't apologize.
It doesn't work if you say, I don't mean it. I'm just kidding.
If you stay in character or stay in that mode of whatever you said, own what you say, then nobody can drag you through the mud because they're being fooled or they're being worked, you know? But if you start backpedaling, like, oh, you know, well, now you're caught, you know, now you're fucked, you know?
There's no winning with that. Are you active too on all the, like, do you have Instagram, everything? Are you on all of them? Or no, just Twitter, Facebook mostly?
Yeah, so, no, I do a lot on Instagram too.
Okay.
So, like, the way I do it is, like, I use Twitter a lot for, like, thoughts and jokes and just tweets about wrestling and content, like, written content. And then with Instagram, I try to let the pictures do the talking more. Sometimes I'll write a pretty long, because, you know, you can, there's a lot more length you can do on Instagram. So sometimes I'll put a pretty long caption out there. But less is more, you know, the more you talk or the more you write out, the less value each word has, you know. So sometimes on Instagram, you know, you just want to post a picture and a couple words. And then sometimes on Twitter, you just want to make a funny crack or a funny joke without... Yeah. You know, writing a whole thesis and shit, you know, like, if you can't explain yourself, that's what I like about Twitter. Like the 180 characters or less, it's a great practice on being concise and explaining your thoughts in a shorter manner. Absolutely. Without using too many words and too many euphemisms. It's like, all right, just get to the point, you know. If you're going to clap back at some fan for talking crap, or if you're going to beef with somebody on there, you know, keep it short, keep it tight. That way everybody knows it's all in good fun. Like, once you start going and start trying to explain everything, it's like, God damn.
Oh, it's a never ending circle. What about, are you on TikTok as well or no? Cause TikTok's where
I really do. TikTok's a little bit above my pay grade. I spend so much time on my phone as it is that
I
would prefer not to have another app to worry about.
Brother, I know my girlfriend likes
it. Yeah, it is a very good creative outlet for sure. And I see some really funny, cool stuff on there, but I just don't like the layout of it. I don't really like scrolling through it and just seeing random girls doing random dances.
It's a lot of dancing.
Yeah, it's more for chicks that want to have fun.
I just do it. I look at it. I get up early and I do all my social media work in the morning, and then I delete them off my phone for parts of the day, but I'll put it back on when I need to use it, and I take it off just because, man, I find myself, I'm like, especially with the supplements, I'm always doing something, but it's so easy just to click on it and look. I take it off my phone so that it's an extra step. But I was curious on that on with you. Because, like, this day and age, we're all, like, I feel like they're making it more and more addictive to where, like, they want us on these things at all times. It's like, I can't, and all the different apps, and it's like, just from a business standpoint, I get up and knock it all out. But it's stressful. When I don't have it on my phone, I'm so happy. Yeah. It's like, I just live life, and I'm like, fuck, life is meant to be lived, not meant to be behind that all the time.
Yeah, the social media can consume every minute of your day if you let it. Mm-hmm. It really can. There's no end to the human thought, to the human argument, to the discourse. There's no end in sight. There's a consistent, like, unlimited, infinite argument about everything. Like, you can always find something to waste your time on social media. But at the same time, just like in wrestling, you can always be busy And you could always
stay busy. That's the key.
Yeah, like you could always be busy.
Yeah.
You could always be making money and always improving your brand or your craft. So it's like, it's a double-edged sword. You know, you want to use it, but you also want to get away from it, you know?
It's a balance.
Take a deep breath and smell the roses for a little bit and realize that a lot of these people online are quite miserable because they're stuck in the matrix too. And if all they did was just unplug for a little bit, they would realize how, you know, how not serious some of these issues are that are online, you know. Like,
that's why you just gotta
ask yourself, like, does it affect me and can I control it or not?
Yeah.
Does it affect me? Can I do anything about it? If I can't control anything about something, I don't stress out about it one bit. And if it doesn't affect me, I usually don't, but I understand some things affect the greater good of people. So I try to be informed on that. But at the end of the day, as selfish as it sounds, if something's taken up half your day and you're spending 4 to 6 hours on Twitter arguing about a topic that doesn't even affect your daily life,
no,
doesn't affect your income or your livelihood. Like, what are you doing?
Waste of time.
Yeah.
You're dying.
Every second that you're alive, you're closer to dying.
That's what I feel like is happening on a grand scale with people, quite honestly, because the people that don't stay busy, that concerns me. I feel like it's a part of everything going on. But I wanted to ask you.
It's heartbreaking to see it. You
know? Yeah, because it's going to affect a lot of people. But like, so that's why I would say, like, the key focus has always been the one thing that separates success from not having success. And it's even more important now than ever, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, for you, training wise, because wrestling is, I've seen the shift from when I came up, and I'm very accepting to new school. I love old school also, though. I love wrestling. I love psychology. I love human psychology, how I was taught, why you do certain things to elicit a certain response. I love selling. I love because I learned that game. And as I was in wrestling, I saw the game changing a little bit at times. And it was fine because it never affected my matches. And I still look at it that way. Is for someone like you in coming from the business, like, what is your view on that old school, new school? Because everyone has different philosophies on it. Like, when you're watch tape, I know you watch a lot of today's product. Obviously, you have to. Do you watch a lot of old school stuff too?
So one thing I've noticed as I'm starting to find out who I am as a wrestler, and also kind of comparing my stock and the way I wrestle to that of the AEW roster, which is a very modernized roster, but they have such a variety that there's a spot for everything on the card, you know. And I do think I fall in line with some of those classic kind of storytelling singles matches. I think I do better with that as far as, like I said, I've always been a storyteller. You know, I've always wanted to share my story with the world, you know, how I dealt with, you know, not having a father growing up and how that ultimately led me into wrestling, which is why I don't really have a gimmick and like, oh, like I'm a wizard or some kind of a character gimmick. Like, oh, I'm going crazy. I'm the loose cannon. Like, I just haven't got to that ship because I haven't had a story that has pushed me to that limit. You know what I mean? My story right now is just my shoot kind of story. Like, I'm getting into wrestling. I'm doing it, you know, fiery young baby face that just is doing it for the dream, you know, doing it for his father. So, if I can really take those real life emotions that I have and put that into my matches, I think that's going to be my most genuine work. But just from being on the indies and understanding how that formula works too, and how like a lot of action can just be, you know, get in there, have some fun and get out. Like, I'm totally all for it. I'm not a big tag wrestler, but when I first got into the business, I studied more of the new school stuff.
Yeah.
Just so I could know what I needed to keep up to pace on.
Yep.
But as I mature into the business, I definitely look backwards and see how I can really pull off some of those more magical storytelling moments that people are going to, if I'm completely, completely honest, that people are going to remember way more than that banger match you had, you know, with the way you burned the barn down and everybody got their good shit in. Like, people are just going to remember the more emotional grab as opposed to the, you know.
I like it all. I just think there's a time and place. But, you know, the old school for me, and I go back, it's the intensity. of watching guys, and guys like your father, but like watching guys like
you, when you can't take your eyes off them when they're just standing there. You know what I mean? If you have to do something like crazy for me to want to look at you,
yeah,
then it's hard for me to remember you. But if you're just standing there and you're jacked up and you want to fight.
It was an energy tool.
Yeah, and you're chopping, and it's like it's so real out there. But you know, you got to have that.
That's finding that blend. And if you could do that, you can make a shit ton of money in this business. And I really, because I look at it, and it's all learning, and it's respecting, and everything evolves as time goes on. But like the psychology aspect, and that, like Vince in Gorilla and WWE, the two things they had always up there, and I learned this from developmental on. Was act and react and intensity. And to me, those were always the two most important things in going out there. Because if you have intensity, people will believe with what you're doing. So
awesome.
I love it, man. I want to say, I don't want to take up any more of your time.
I know it's fine. Yeah, I think I got another one coming up. He's going to send me a similar link to this.
Okay.
So I'll just jump right onto that one.
I did want to say, it was cool. I got to meet you a few years ago, probably. It was in Pennsylvania. I remember you had a beer in your hand. That was I was screwed up, man. I was physically, like, that was me at my worst. But I remember meeting you back there in Pennsylvania. And when I was figuring everything out, so it's really cool to see you
One of the first indie shows I ever went to.
Really?
Was the night of the Superstars up in Pennsylvania. And you were on the show with Matt Hardy and Jeff.
Yeah,
and
they had that was their final show, I think.
Yeah, they had the tag titles with them. But no, yeah, that was one of the first indies I went to kind of explore this wacky world. You know, I was like, oh, I want to wrestle. You know, I was all beefed up and in shape, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't know anything yet. I was green as could be, you know, like I never bumped at all. You know, I was just like, maybe these people can point me in the right direction, maybe, you know, and one thing led to another. And I just, and lo and behold, I just got to see Matt Hardy again after 2.5 years last night. So,
crazy.
He was able to watch my match, and he described my work as, polished. So, that was probably the highest praise I think I've ever gotten. So somebody like him says I look polished out there. And I'm just going to keep polishing.
I love it, man.
But no, thank you for having me. It's nice to talk. You know, I do a lot of these podcasts with random people, but to have a guy like you with the experience and the insider knowledge, I think that's something that people would definitely like to listen to. You know, just a couple guys talking the business, you know.
I'm adjusting my show going to more. I'm doing more independent guys, like, coming out.
Yeah. Without exposing it too much, yeah, we were able to talk about some different things. And
give people it's a fun for me because I'm getting back in. I look forward. I have a feeling we'll be running into each other at some point, sometime. So
yeah. I'm going to do this next podcast in full character. Okay, I'm just going to flip the script on.
I love it. What's the best place for people to find you on social media?
Yeah, I'm mostly active on Twitter at Flying Brian Jr.
Okay.
And Instagram at Flying Brian 41. That's Flying with a Y and Brian with an I. And then Facebook, just don't bother me on there because I ain't going to deal with you.
Good deal. Then Brian, thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, guys, we'll be right back after these messages.
You've heard us talk about Real Good Foods before on the podcast and just how much I love their Real Good pizzas and enchiladas. Now Real Good Foods also has their new poppers, which are a super low carb cross between a chicken nugget and a jalapeno popper. All of their foods are low carb, grain free, gluten free, and keto friendly. Most items have as low as 3 to 4 grams of carbs per serving. From their chicken crust pizza, enchiladas, cauliflower crust pizzas, snack bite pizzas, and poppers, you can't go wrong with anything from Real Good Foods. All items are available at realgoodfoods.com, on Amazon, and in retail locations all over the country, with a store locator on their website. Save 10% with discount code Ryback off of realgoodfoods.com. Real Good Foods. Feed me more. Hey, what's going on, guys? It's the big guy Ryback, and I want to talk to you about Fuel Meals, my personal meal prep service I've been using for years. Meal prep at your doorstep. Fuel Meals at fuelmeals.com has something for everybody. an easy way to eat healthy in this fast-paced life we are all living. Whenever I'm in a pinch, I go to My Fuel Meals, and I love it. I love to eat real food, but the fact is, I can't cook for every single meal of the day. So Fuel Meals come in handy for me when I need it most, and I think it could help you too. Tell them the big guy sent you and use discount code THEBIGGUY to save 15%. FuelMeals.com. Feed me more. They say all men are created equal. Whether we believe that or not, I believe there is a champion inside each and every one of us. Life is energy and food is energy. What we put inside our bodies determines how we feel and act. I have always wanted to be more, and I feel everyone wants to be more than what we are. Supplement companies that use aspartame and sucralose aren't concerned with our health or fitness, but Feed Me More Nutrition believes in selling good for good and creating a relationship that lasts forever. Using only natural sweeteners, stevia, and monk fruit, and more ingredients that work, we give you more because we want you to be more. FeedMeMore.com and Amazon. All right, we are back. Big thank you to Brian Pillman Jr. and big things to look out for with him, I assure you. All right, guys, I want to go ahead and do our review of the week this week. I always appreciate you guys and your love and support for this show. Your reviews on iTunes are greatly appreciated. We are on all podcast platforms. And as we continue to grow this show and make adjustments, and you heard me talk about it, I mentioned it there with Brian. I think I'm going to, as I'm getting, and I'm not going to just label the show one certain way, but I feel like there may be having more wrestlers on, and maybe younger wrestlers, independent wrestlers, having them on because it makes for interesting conversations. I really enjoy having those conversations. I've always adjusted the show as it goes on to kind of fit where I'm at with my life and where I'm going on, and I'm okay having more wrestling stuff on the show. This review here, it's a 5-star review from this past week, from Sammy Owens C. Sammy Owens C. You're this week's winner, but the review is the episode on last week of June 2020. Please check audio. It sounds like someone left Mike hot while using the restroom about 5 minutes to 8 minutes mark, and it stay hot. Please check. I support the podcast and listen, also a fan. So I'm just saying to make it better for all. I gave it 5 stars, so you know I'm fan, but please check audio. Thank you. And I thank you. In that, he's referring to our Shooting Blanks wrestling report. Me and Raj, we went back to Skype this week. And I actually, and there is a feature just to download the audio off of, we were using StreamYard. And I don't know what it is, but StreamYard, and I have a feeling, because I record on multiple different things. I like having backups as well, because I've done an episode or two in the past where I had only one way of recording, and something happened, and I remember one time camera went out once, and it's always good to just have backups on things. But for whatever reason with StreamYard, the audio recording on my podcast Zoom player and the hard cam get muffled, where that background noise, it just picks up something, and it's trust me, I wish, and I sent it off to the editing team, and that was on me. I could have just downloaded the audio. And I didn't even see that on there. Raj mentioned it to me. And I go, shit, I just never looked at it. I just always hit download video. And where I can do the audio if we do use StreamYard for me and Raj. But this week I just use Skype, so there's no issues. Last thing, I know how important sound is. It's sometimes you record a show. I'm doing a million things throughout the day. And I'll be the first to tell you, sometimes I'm just getting stuff done. And I just got to get it done. But at the same time, I want everything to be good that you put out. Not always the case, obviously. And so my apologies for the shit audio for the wrestling report for last week. But thank you for the review. You're this week's winner. And please send me a screenshot with an email to thebigguy@feedmemore.com. And get a copy of my book, Wake Up, It's Feeding Time,
over here. Available on Amazon, paperback, Audible, and all different Kindle formats. And or a small through 2XL Feed Me More Nutrition Premium tank top. Thank you guys, as always, for that. I do, moving on, we're going to hit a little bit up on the paying the bills. You guys could check out, we do have Feed Me More Nutrition mask also with everything going on. As mask, the mask, the cloth mask at Teespring. If you go to teespring.com, teespring.com, and it's the Feed Me More store on Teespring. And we have different shirts, Feed Me More Nutrition merchandise up over there, coffee mug. And we have mask as well, the Feed Me More Nutrition mask with everything. I got a couple coming over here and looking into getting a bunch made for the website as well to give away with orders on that. But I'm waiting to hear back on that as we speak. Real Good Foods, you can save 15% with discount code Ryback, realgoodfoods.com. They got the keto pizzas. They have the cauliflower pizzas, the enchiladas, the keto enchiladas, the beef chicken, the jalapeno bacon, or the jalapeno poppers, the other, I'm all over the botch. Real Good Foods, botch. The jalapeno poppers, they have a bacon, I think cheddar poppers, the bacon wrapped stuffed chicken breasts. Those are absolutely delicious. You can see a video of that on Feed Me More TV with all that, guys. And, but check them out, realgoodfoods.com. They have a lot of good stuff. They're a really cool business. Always happy to have them a part of this show. And you can save 15% discount code Ryback. Fuel Meals, my personal meal prep company I'm associated with. Fuelmeals.com. You can save 15% with discount code the big guy. Go on there, guys. It essentially helps eating healthy. It makes it a lot easier. A meal prep at your doorstep. Steak, chicken, broccoli. They got different asparagus, green beans, rice, brown rice, white rice. They have different tilapia, salmon, quesadillas, Texan turkey burgers. You can do signature meals. You can do custom meals. It's really, they have something for everybody over there. It helps eating healthier, though, and whether you bring a meal or two with you to work or on the road, it helps counting your macros a lot easier on that. And I've been with them now for, shit, probably 5 years now. So crazy how time flies by. Feed Me More Nutrition, available on Feed Me More .com and Amazon. You can save 10% with discount code podcast10 from this show, guys. The Shell Shock Extreme Fat Burner is going to be back in stock this week. As you know, $1 of all sales goes towards feeding those in need here in Las Vegas. So every time you buy, place an order on feedmemore.com. We give $1 to Three Square here in Las Vegas. I make the donation at the beginning of the month every month. We have that information available on the feedmemore.com website as well. And you can see, and it's really cool to be able to give back. And as we continue to grow and get bigger and continue to give them more and more and help out just as much as we can with everything. I just like being able to have a business and try to do good things with it, as we are trying to do good things with the providing supplements with no artificial sweeteners or colors. There's really very few companies doing what we're doing here and at the level that we're doing. And I feel like the quality of supplements we're giving you for the value and money and not overcharging for the supplements. And it would have been really easy. And I was advised to go and charge a lot more on a lot of the stuff. It always bothered me. I don't understand why we charge more for being healthy. I think it's fucking stupid. That's my mentality. Maybe it's not the best business mentality, but if I'm making money still and people aren't going broke, getting healthy supplements or healthy food, whatever it is, you know, and again, costs do come in, our costs are higher and things of that nature, but it always bothered me. It was like, why am I being charged more for doing the right thing? Shouldn't we, like, if anything, shouldn't it be the other way? Shouldn't it, like, fast food be really, really expensive? That way we, you know, but what the fuck do I know? Coming along here in 2020 talking that nonsense. But thank you, guys. Thank you very much for shopping with Feed Me More Nutrition on feedmemore.com. The thought of the week this week, guys, is a quote here that I've lost. I had it open on my phone and it has disappeared because my picture's reset. So I'm going to scroll up. Just give me a hot minute here. All right. Actually, I'm going to change it because I like this one better. I didn't see this before. Quote of the thought of the week this week is from a quote I saw, that anxiety doesn't come from thinking about the future. It comes from trying to control it. Anxiety doesn't come from thinking about the future. It comes from trying to control it. And that one really hit home, and I really believe that. And I think that a lot of the times we create situations in our head, or we tell ourselves stories of the way we think things are going to go, or maybe in a negative way, that can create stress and create anxiety and cause uncertainty in us. Whereas if we maybe just choose a different approach and maybe a more positive approach and not dwell too much on the negatives and trying to be so hell-bent on something going a certain way, and just more living in the now and choosing to be happy. We always have a choice on it, and I've talked about that. And I think those sometimes it's what we do, though. We overthink things all the time, and no good ever comes from it. Humans are at their best just when we act and react and just be in the moment, and whatever happens, happens. But we oftentimes we want to control things, and I'm guilty of it myself, and I want so hell-bent on things going a certain way sometimes that we just cause ourselves just unwanted, unnecessary stress. And it's not always, we're always not always going to escape that, but I think just being aware of it and catching it at certain times can really, really work to our advantage. That's my thought of the week. Shut the fuck up, big guy. All right, guys, for all videos, Cameo, cameo.com/thebigguyryback for personal video shout outs. Just want me to say hello, birthday wishes, whatever you want. I am on Cameo as well on that. For all fan mail, I ask you to limit it to 1 to 2 pieces and have a self-addressed envelope as well. P.O. Box 752740, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89136. With that, all media inquiries, please, thebigguy@feedmemore.com. I think I got a couple things people have reached out, doing a couple shows more on business and personal development, which is always cool to get asked to do shows for that, not wrestling related. Never a bad thing at all. Even though the wrestling ones are all fantastic as well. With that. And guys, I'm on social media, The Big Guy Ryback 22 on Instagram, Feed Me More Nutrition, Conversation with The Big Guy Ryback TV on Instagram, Ryback at Twitter, Feed Me More Nutrition on Facebook, Ryback 247 on Snapchat, The Big Guy Ryback 22 on TikTok. Guys, and thank you very much for listening. I hope you guys all had a wonderful 4th of July. Let's wear our mask, do our best. If you don't want to wear them when you're at home, I'm all for not wearing them at home and things, but let's try to keep everything open. And, cause I see the governor here has been making comments, and, we don't need anything getting shut down again. Let's just wear the mask when we're in public, and then we could bitch about it all when we're in our car and at home and doing our activities where we're not around other people. And, let's just keep everything open. Cause, I assure you, we do not want that happening again with whatever the fuck is going on. All right. Thank you guys for listening. You've just listened to another episode of Conversation with the Big Guy Ryback. Feed me more.
This is Conversation with the Big Guy Ryback. Subscribe, like, rate, comment.